Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.
Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Inflago. Across from me is Chris Walker.
Hey, that's me.
And Spicoli joins us.
Hey, that's me.
And running the boards is
the Prodigy.
It's me.
Oh, I knew that was happening. On today's podcast, we will actually get to the board game talk that we were talking about on Monday.
Thank goodness.
We've got some comic talk with Spicoli.
That's right.
And I talked to my friend Michael Kingston about his Headlock comic book. But first, Chris.
Yeah.
How can people get a hold of us?
Well, it's like this. If people want to get a hold of us, they know, of course, that we release the podcast every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Yep.
They can check out our website and all the podcasts at bjgeeknation.com. On your Amazon Echo, you just need to ask Alexa to play Geek Nation on the TuneIn app. You can like us on Facebook. Just search for BJ Shea's Geek Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram.
It's Instagram.
Instagram.
I never get tired of that.
Instagram.
At BJ Geek Nation on both of those platforms. Send us a text or leave a voicemail at 1-980-224-3353. And you can shoot us an email at bjgeeknation@gmail.com. Last but not least, go over to youtube.com/bjgeeknation for all the fun videos and whatnots and hoobadoobs that we do
and
on
the
there.
Hoobadoobs and all of that.
Share, like, subscribe. You know you wanna.
Absolutely.
To all of our hoobadoobs.
All the hoobadoobs. Let's start with the interview that I did at Emerald City Comic Con itself. Without any further ado, we're just going to get right into it with Mr. Michael Kingston.
I am with one of my favorite indie comic creators, the man himself, Mr. Michael Kingston. We've had you on multiple times on BJJ's Geek Nation because of the simple fact is you are making an awesome comic and you're doing it the indie way. How's it been going for you so far right now? I mean, just in like the last year or so.
Things have really taken off for us in the last year. I feel like last year, 2016, was the year we still really started to catch with people, where people started to know our name, and we would go places and people would hear from us or hear about us. And, you know, you can't buy that kind of awareness. You know, I think it's a war of attrition. We've just been doing so many shows and
yeah,
wearing people down and just, you know, shoving it in their face. And now they're like, oh, okay, it's Headlocked.
And it's great, too, because last year at Emerald City Comic Con, you had Jerry Lawler, and you had the chance. I had the chance to moderate the panel, which I thought went fantastic, and I had a lot of fun with it. This year, you've got Ric Flair, and you've even got a bigger announcement, in my opinion, than Ric Flair, is the new Kickstarter. And it's amazing. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we're doing a Kickstarter for the next volume. It's called Headlock the Hard Way, and we've got a ridiculous lineup. I mean, I still can't believe it myself, but we have Ric Flair, Cody Rhodes, Mick Foley, Kenny Omega doing short stories. Jerry's still on the covers. We have Tugboat doing art. Lindsay Dorado, who's on 205 Live, doing a piece of art. Ed McGuinness, Robbie Rodriguez, and Andy Belanger, who's also an independent wrestler. He's also the artist for Southern Cross for Image.
Nice.
It's everything is like a bucket list all the way down. I mean, all the guys I wanted to work with. You know, Cody Rhodes, big comic book fan. He's a guy that I've wanted to work with for a long time. Kenny Omega. So, I mean, it's a dream come true for me. And we launched our Kickstarter yesterday, and, you know, it's been taking off for us. So hopefully this is what breaks us.
And, yeah, you guys have been doing, first off, already first less than 24 hours, you guys have just been kicking ass at the Kickstarter. So you're already looking at stretch goals, which is really, really fun at that point. And it's really simple to look for. If you just look for Headlocked on Kickstarter, you can find it really easy. I love the fact that that there's a lot of the wrestlers, and we've talked about this, that they're just uber geeks. Cody Rhodes, super into video games, super into comic books, and we recently had him in because he was around for Defy, one of the local wrestling promotions, and God, I wish I would have been able to bug him about that a little bit, but it's really cool that you can get these guys who are uber geeky about this and still, you know, have them contribute in any way possible, from art to stories to everything.
One of the things I like, what I look for is guys that are doing DIY type stuff or guys that have made it on their own. You know, we had Samoa Joe on the last book, and there's a guy who, you know, he could have done this typical Samoan thing and probably could have got a job sooner, but, you know, he stuck to his guns, he did his thing, and now he's on the big stage on his terms.
And that's great, too. And, I mean, you even look at someone like Cody Rhodes, who was Stardust in the WWE, among other things, and then decided to take a step back and just go with the American Nightmare, and he is building up such a surge in the indie community going around doing that as well, and becoming, you know, I don't want to say more than he was in the WWE, but he's also been able to find himself and do that, and it's kind of running parallel with what you guys are doing, because as an indie comic writer and getting the word out there, you know how hard that can be.
And yeah, Cody, I think, is doing something really cool. He's sort of like pushing political boundaries. I mean, he's wrestling for Ring of Honor and TNA and every indie. He's got a feud with Joey Ryan that's spanning several independent companies. I mean, he's doing things. I feel like he's doing like the next evolution of like what Colt Cabana and Zack Ryder and the Young
totally,
Bucks
yeah.
started. And he's, you know, giving power to the talent to where, you know what I mean? If you create your own stories, then, you know what I mean? These guys will book you on your terms. And I think it's really, really, it's really impressive. And I think if I was an indie wrestler coming up, he's a guy I'd be keeping my eye on.
That's awesome. And then also going back to Headlocked, can you tell us a little bit about the story progression and what you have in store for the fans of the comic book series?
So one of the things we've been teasing since the very, very first issue is that there's this incident involving our main character, Mike Hardman, where he's been sort of left bloody and beaten, and he's blackballed from the wrestling business, and we're actually going to reveal that, what happened in that night in this particular issue. So hence the moniker Headlock the Hard Way. So I didn't want to do something obvious like, you know, Juice Factory or something, but, you know, I hate to use insider terms because yeah. I feel like it's overdone, so we tried to come up with something, and, you know, our tagline for the book is, in wrestling there's no easy way, so it hits on a couple of different levels, and I think it's going to be a really fun story, and Mick did a Christmas story. We hashed that out last night over text in a hotel room, and that one's going to be really, really fun, and, you know, it's a Christmas story, so it'll be a little heartwarming.
Nice.
But there's still blood in it, so.
Well, that's usually how you expect something, especially with Headlocked and all the fun and frivolity that goes along with that. I know people, if they want to fund the Kickstarter or help fund the Kickstarter, they can go just to Kickstarter and search for Headlock Comics. Facebook is the same thing. You just search for Headlock Comics, you can find it, and just, it's Headlock Comics as
well. Headlock Comic.
Headlock Comic on Twitter. Is there anything else you want to throw out toward the fans?
I just, to people know that, you know, the books we sell at shows are great books. They have 5 chapters of Headlocked in them and Jerry's covers and everything, but the books that have the wrestling content, you can only get through Kickstarter. Kickstarter is the lifeblood of our franchise, so we try to reward the people who help us when we need it the most. So, you know, don't wait to get at us at a convention or wait to order it online. If you back the Kickstarter, you're going to get a book, a limited edition book with some of the coolest content we have, and I can't stress that enough to people. You know, you can't come to me here and be like, hey, where's that Kenny Omega story? It's on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
But if you've missed, if you're late to the party and you're just coming on, you can get the previous editions, the Kickstarter version of previous books if you back for more than one book. So.
Oh, nice. Good way to get back out there for all the people who may, like you said, a little late to the party, they can still reap all those benefits.
Yeah, and I mean, we try not to be, I don't know, we're not like Nintendo, you know what I mean? We're not creating like a forced black market, but, you know, the Kickstarter is what we need from people. You know, that's how we get the books made, and so we reward the people who help us when we need it the most.
I still need me a classic Nintendo right now, so I know how you're feeling on that one. Dude, Michael, thank you so much again. Michael Kingston. assistant for Headlock Comics. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Mr. Michael Kingston. Again, check out Headlock Comic, The Hard Way on Kickstarter. I love his stuff, and I love the fact that you can mix wrestling and comic books. And the simple fact of the matter is they work very, very well together. So definitely check that out if you're a wrestling fan. He brought Ric Flair, the Nature Boy, to Comic-Con. It was in the middle of the interview. There was a dude who just, there were people who just walked by. They saw the picture. It's like, oh, Ric Flair's going, woo!
I remember I was walking through Comic-Con, and like there was this huge crowd. I was like, what is this? So we're trying to fight through, and then like there was just Ric Flair sitting at a table.
Yeah.
Like in the middle, like it was not a good place for there to be somebody that famous.
It was really funny because Michael was talking about it. It's like, well, at least I'm kind of close to the wall, so I have a line against it. And it was a long line.
Yeah.
Definitely check out that stuff. I love the fact that Rick is going to be doing stuff for the comic. Let's actually keep on the old comic bandwagon here, Spicoli.
Yeah.
With some of your pulls in the last couple of weeks what have you got, man?
So I've got some news. I've got a reveal that happened, and ooh, Inhumans versus X-Men is finally over, so we will celebrate that fact. I got to talk about Action Comics. I've been absolutely loving Superman recently. Both Superman books are killing it. So there's been this mystery going on in Action Comics, kind of since Rebirth, where there's been this Clark Kent character. He's not Superman. He's just Clark Kent. He doesn't have powers. He's very confusing. He works at the Daily Planet. Just is a reporter.
I saw the reveal on this online.
It's been like a long time. Like, I think the reveal should have happened sooner, but the way it happened was fantastic.
Okay.
Does he have glasses?
Clark?
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Ooh.
But the question though is like, this can't be a real Clark. Who is this? A lot of people are thinking maybe Superboy Prime, maybe one of the past retconned out Superman of the history of comics.
It's Shaq as Steel.
So
yeah. Oh.
So what's great? That would just don't tease me like that, Ref.
Yeah, okay.
So the crossover event Superman Reborn is happening right now in Superman in Action Comics. And the big 975 Action Comics came out where they had this big montage where we finally had our big square off with Clark Kent, and the first time they revealed it, it made it seem like it was Lex Luthor. Just he changed his body and boom, Lex Luthor was there. And you were like, wait, what? How
does
that even work out? And then the guy keeps saying, say my name. And you turn the page again and it's Doomsday. And then you turn the page again and it was like Parasite or something. And there's a series of villains.
Weird.
And finally Superman realizes it and it's Mr. Mixia Spitlick.
Yeah.
Probably my single favorite Superman villain.
Okay, so you're pretty stoked on this.
I love Mixie. I'm so excited that it was Mixie.
Because I was really confused. Well, first off, I was like, okay, in terms of like the Superman mythos, it kind of makes sense on that end, just that it would be
he's from the fifth dimension, so he can make reality that weird.
And so then the second thought I had was, what is fan reaction going to be about this?
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I don't, I don't know. I like it because I like Mixie.
Mm-hmm.
There's some the story's written by Dan Jurgens, but the backup, there was a backup all about Mixie in this book by Paul Dini, who he was one of the main writers for Superman the Animated Series, Batman the Animated Series, created Harley Quinn.
Paul Dini's a legend.
Paul Dini wrote the Mixie Spitlick episodes of Superman the Animated Series, which is probably one of my favorite episodes of any show ever. It's got Gilbert Gottfried as Mixie.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
He's so good.
That's legit.
Yeah. So this backup explained kind of what happened, that being as powerful as he is, when the big Flashpoint thing happened, this fifth dimensional imp didn't get retconned out of existence because he's too high dimensional.
Yeah.
But his memories were all messed up because that's the whole Flashpoint thing, is people's memories were messed up. And then when this story started, when he met this new Clark, his memories came back and realized he was Mixie Spitlick, and he was like, wait, I thought Superman and I have been playing. We just play with each other for a long time. We have our fun games. And then when the reboot happened and he was trapped in this no place for a long time, Superman didn't save him because he was like, Superman should notice that I'm not there, that I'm not, taunting him anymore. Why didn't he save me? Why didn't he come for me? So he gets pissed and he goes and he takes Superman's son.
Jilted. Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay, that's really interesting.
And they referenced like every Mixie Spitlick in that issue. We saw art of all kinds of different designs, including the animated one. It talks about how people mispronounce his name, including Mixelpick, which is the most common one.
I know, I do that all the time.
Yeah, so that was
I'm
just,
so
I love that. I thought it was a lot of fun. Now let's talk about the X-Men. So we know that we know that Resurrexion is coming. We thought there were going to be 8 X-Men titles. Turns out there's going to be a 9th. Yeah, last week they announced that they referred to it as the X-Book you've been waiting for, and they revealed the cover, but with all the characters on it silhouetted out, except for 2. Initially, you had Old Man Logan and Archangel.
Mm-hmm.
And then they released 2 more, and it was Rogue and Gambit.
Okay.
I love Gambit.
And
he's
then,
like my favorite.
Yeah. And then the last 2... First it was Rogue and Mystique, then it was Psylocke and Gambit, and the last 2 are Bishop and Phantom X, and they've announced it's going to be Astonishing X-Men, written by Charles Soule.
I love Bishop. Yeah. I don't remember Phantom X.
Phantom X was from Grant Morrison's run. He was Weapon 13 or 14 from the Weapon Plus program.
Okay.
He's kind of like Deadpool, but without being forced to be what Deadpool has become.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of theories because of the silhouettes. I really thought it was going to be Cable and Deadpool in the back, not Bishop and Phantom X.
Yeah.
But Cable's got his own ongoing series, and Deadpool's not an X-Man.
Yeah.
And so I think
even
that would have been forced. No, he doesn't. So Astonishing X-Men is happening, one of many, many X-books. But, you know, it comes out of IVX, which is written by Charles Soule, and let's talk about that for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So the Inhumans of the X-Men have been fighting. There was the event Death of X, in which Jamie Madrox, Multiple Man, and Scott Summers died, but Emma didn't let anybody know that Scott died. She projected his image, and basically was like, hey, there's this cloud of Terrigen, it'll kill mutants. There's no possible way that the Inhumans could ever be reasoned with, so... we gotta declare war on him.
Let's kill them all.
So there's been basically 6 issues of just war happening, the Inhumans being like, wait, why? And the majority of the book was just moving groups of people around. Like, this guy was over there, that guy was over there. Nobody really did anything to each other for a very long time. In one of the tie-ins, the young Scott Summers, you know, we've got 2 versions of the original X-Men hanging out now,
Sure. Learns
that Emma lied to everybody, that Scott didn't do anything, that Scott was dead and did not kill the cloud, which apparently makes him Hitler. Literally, they've compared him to Hitler because he killed the cloud. Yeah, I think some real mistakes were made with this story.
Yeah, that's a little excessive.
Yeah, a little excessive. And, like, only Inhuman extremists should care about this cloud. It's part of their religion.
Yeah.
It's not... like, all these other people that have nothing to do with Inhumans are like, I can't believe Scott did that. And then we turned out he murdered a cloud that was also just a second backup cloud that was invented for that story. So anyway, the primary cloud...
Jesus.
At the end of IVX, the Inhumans learned that, you know, oh, this cloud is you know, it's been hurting X-Men. It's reaching a point where all the mutants are going to die. And so finally everybody figures everything out, and Medusa's like, okay, let's kill this cloud. And Medusa kills the cloud. There was a brief moment where Emma brought a bunch of Inhuman hunting sentinels, but somebody destroyed them, so those, you know, were frightening for 2 pages.
She spent a lot of time on that one.
She was mind-controlling Magneto, and then... when she got, like, hit and distracted, Magneto got his mind back and got all kinds of pissed because you don't just mind control Magneto. Havoc is behaving like a chump and just obeying everything Emma says because that's what Havoc does. He just follows his crappy girlfriends and do whatever he does. Worked with Madeline, worked with Emma.
Damn, waste of a good character.
Yeah, sure.
Never
been a big Havoc fan. He still hasn't finished his damn dissertation. It's been, like, 40 years. Oh, man. So anyway, at the end, basically this whole thing, the big objective here was clearly make Emma a villain again.
Yeah.
Which is a real shame, because I think that her journey from villain to hero to, you know, kind of leader of the X-Men has been great, and they've undone a lot of that now. And so at the very end, we see her. She's got a new costume with, you know, it looks kind of Goblin Queen-y. It's got tall black boots and, like, a bunch of X's going over her midsection so you can kind of see through them. And she's now wearing the crappy Cyclops hat.
The X hat. I always thought that thing looked dumb.
Like, I have always hated that stupid X hat.
Yeah, maybe it's just the classic in me enjoying the visor sort of thing. It seemed a little more like 90s Havoc to me.
It's also like his eyes don't go in an X. Like, it's always just, like, weird that, like, his eyes are behind that, and, like, I feel like they should be blasting through the sides of the thing and not actually through the X.
I get
so
you.
Yeah, she's got these tall boots and a bunch of red studs around around it. Like, it actually reminds me a little bit of Penance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which, totally. You know how everybody loves Penance.
Hey, I enjoyed the thought
love Penance.
Of Penance. Like, when it, like, when he came to be in the
I agree. The frontline story. When he went from being, from going from Speedball to Penance, that story is great.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of the last good Penance that showed up after that. So anyway, IBX is finally done. Emma's evil. The Inhumans are off to be written by new people. And the X-Men are off to go do Resurrexian with the Blue and the Gold and the Astonishing and a bunch of solo titles.
Now, here's just a question that's kind of out of left field on this. I just want to know, has the universe caught up to what has happened with the Secret Wars?
Right.
So all those things happened with the Secret Wars, and we talked about that. And like, but there were a bunch of titles that were coming out that were sort of spoilery. You had all the different aspects. Have they kind of streamlined all of those storylines now? And then, including with these ones, are all the times kind of like?
Yeah,
figured out by now.
Do you mean Civil War? Because it's been long enough that since Secret War is that, but both Civil War 2 and Secret Wars had the problem where they got delayed. So books that were supposed to come out after they were done.
Yeah, that's not even okay. Secret Wars. I meant Civil War.
Yeah, we're all up to speed now. Civil War is done. The current. You know, it's a shame that IVX was IVX was just kind of pointless and just boring and
that's
like
unfortunate.
When superheroes fight each other, it should be fun. And Civil War and sometimes Secret Wars and IVX all failed in that aspect. In the way there's an event going on right now that it'll end, I think, next week or so. So we'll talk about it when it's over. Called Monsters Unleashed.
Yeah,
and this is one of those things where it shows how just events can just be fun slugfest. There's big monsters. There's superheroes trying to fight them. There's a kid who's drawing stuff, and it's just good fun. Like these books just weren't fun. And like, I don't mind if a book isn't fun. Old Man Logan is probably one of my top five favorite X books, but it's got to be good if it's not fun.
Yeah.
And if it's not good, it's got to be fun. And IVX was neither.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Had some good art, though, so I can't necessarily fault the artists.
All right.
There's Lemire's not writing any books for Marvel going forward. He's not on any of the solicitations. And he was writing Extraordinary X-Men. He co-wrote this.
He was writing Thanos.
He's writing Thanos and Old Man Logan, which are going to be coming to an end. So it's looking like Lemire might be off Marvel. Soon. His contract is expiring, so he might not renegotiate. But Charles Soule, who also wrote IVX, is now going to be writing Astonishing X-Men, so we'll see where that goes, I guess.
He doesn't really have a whole lot of faith there. Yeah.
But the rest of the X-Books all look really good.
Nice. Anything else in the old comic book aspects?
That's all for me today.
Excellent. Thank you so much again. If anybody has any comic book recommendations, or if you want to get the thoughts that Spicoli has on some comic books, send us an email, bjgeeknation@gmail.com. Chris,
yes.
We need to talk about a board game that we have. Well, it's not necessarily, I don't know. It's hard to talk about a tabletop game and then call it a board game when it's not necessarily on a board. It's just a bunch of cards.
It's a game.
It's a game.
And there are pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And you play this game.
Yes.
That's all we need to say about it.
Exactly.
It's not all we need to say about it, but I mean, that's how we describe it.
And until next time, stay nerdy. Good night.
Hey! All right.
This is a fun one. One of my friends on Twitter is a guy by the name of Peter Newland, who, if you find him on Twitter, it's just MTGS Pete. And he works at Mind the Gap Studios, the MTGS. And they have a game that is coming out on Kickstarter at the end of this month, actually in just about a week. So coming out on March 21st is a game called Project Nos. And this is a race car racing dice game, which there's probably a real actual way to explain that.
Well, actually, you did pretty well for anybody out there listening who doesn't understand what a dice car, race car, rice game
rice
is.
Rice Krispies?
No, Rice Krispies.
What?
No.
You didn't bring any marshmallow treats?
No.
To a racing game?
You don't know what a racing game is for. It's a dice rolling race car game of speed and just... It was really frenetic. So here's the basic setup. You lay out six cards in a line, and each of these cards has four positions for cars on it and then a number, 1 through 6, on it. And the basic idea of the game is you roll dice against those numbers in order to be the first person to place dice on each card of for the car of your color from the beginning to the end. And then you win the race.
So if there are six cards, and say, just for simplicity's sake, each one is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on there. In order for for you to go on to the next card. So you start at the first card, and you have to roll a one for your dice and place it on that card and your position. Then you can move on to the next one, which would be the rolling of the two all the way up until six. But of course, since they're random cards, they're in random order, so you could have a 2, 2, 3, 4, 1, 6. Like, you can go across those ways. And it's interesting because it's a game that everybody takes their turn at the same time.
Yeah.
And what you were talking about, the freneticness, is that you're sitting there rolling dice as quickly as possible to try to get them on these cards. And sometimes, well, when Chris and I were playing, dice will fly around places because you're not very coordinated. And but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So the beauty of this that I thought was the most fun was the sort of modification aspect of it. Everybody starts with their own car, and everybody starts with three common dice. But what you have at the beginning of the game is a round where you will be drafting these modifications that will sort of soup up your car in as far as the flavor of the game goes. But as far as the mechanics of the game goes, it's going to affect the way you're rolling your dice and what it means when you roll your dice. There's one mechanic in the game whereby you can place one of your dice on one of the racing positions, whether the number is exactly right or if it's one over or one under. And if it's not exactly right, you get what's called a red line token, and you can only have two of these at any one time. And then if you already have two, sorry, you got to roll exactly the right number. There are modifications that will affect that red line situation. There are modifications that sort of aggregate your dice, which is to say, instead of each die being worth the face of it, a one might be worth one and two, and a two might be worth three and four, and so forth.
But, and these have, and going into the theme of them, their cards like our cards are like extra wide tires, or adding a spoiler or a V8 engine,
turbocharger. Yeah. So everybody gets two of these modifications at the beginning of the game, and through that process, you get three extra dice to roll, so that you actually have six dice when the race starts to place on each one of the six positions in the race. So first one to the end wins a card, and best two out of three wins the round. This was a really quick one for us. I mean, it was there's not a lot of complicated rules or anything to follow as far as that goes, but it was really fun, and I really like the energy of it, and I can't imagine what four people sitting around playing this would look
total
like.
Total chaos. But it's also, like you said, you're talking about, it's a quick game, which makes sense when you're talking about, you know, Fast and Furious style Project NOS. You can, like I said, it will go out on, according to their teasers, on the 21st of March. Do keep an eye out for that. Again, you can go to Mind the Gap Studios. If you just search for them, you can find their website. But MTGS Pete, Peter Newland was a guy who created this. He sent us a review copy, and I'm really liking it.
Yeah.
It's one of those that, like I said, it's fast, so you can play a bunch of rounds. So it can be the game that you play for a couple hours, and you can just hang out and keep doing that. Or it can be one of those while somebody else is setting up one of your larger games.
Yeah.
You can crank out a couple of turns like that and just have some fun while you're killing some time.
Yeah, we played three races, and it didn't take more than about, 10 minutes?
Yeah, 10 minutes max.
And that's because we were busy trying to learn it while we were playing it. So.
Yeah, and sometimes we don't read the
Nope, reading is hard.
Speed Racer?
Yeah, we did.
Go Speed Racer?
Go Speed Racer!
What about Batmobile?
Ooh, that'd be fun if you could do, like, custom ones.
Oh, Peter, if you're listening. Yes, exactly.
Thank you so much on that. And yeah, definitely check it out when it comes up on Kickstarter and follow them on all of that.
Yeah.
So I did find this interesting article. We've been talking about the X-Men and then also the movies. And they found a definitive X-Men movie viewing order. And this is taking all of the X-Men movies. So you know how they did the stuff with the machete cut for Star Wars?
Yeah.
And
they're
saying, you know, well, first off, get rid of episode one and you're fine. And then you can watch it however which way you want to.
Pod racing.
Yeah, well, if you want to watch pod racing, you can do that. Just maybe with just muted
that.
And not worry about it.
Why?
So what they decided to do is try to lump them into realities. And this is each of the, basically, you know how Days of Future Past goes and screws up with the timeline like it's supposed to.
Okay.
And makes everything just as convoluted as the comic books.
Yes.
They decided to try to break these into two separate realities so you can watch them in order based on whatever reality you want to watch.
Okay.
I hope that makes total sense because I'm saying it, and it's
I feel like I know where it's going to go. It's going to be like the prequel, like the prequels leading up to Days of Future Past, and you got to reach the modern ones, and you got to do Days of Future Past, and then see the ones that affected.
Well, let's see if this goes.
I read a lot of X-Men.
Yeah. So, in the first X Reality, it covers the initial trilogy of the X-Men films between 2000 and 2006. Okay. Of course, they need to do some setup and setup before that, and then afterwards, some aftercare. The first thing they're saying to go with is to watch X-Men First Class. And they're basically saying it was the same universe as the original X movies, thus making this film, since it is set predominantly in 1962, the starting point.
Okay.
And actually, for both of these, it's the same thing, because this all of these... anything that happens in this movie happens before anything gets weird.
And it establishes the common thread through all of them, which is the Magneto-Xavier bromance.
Absolutely. Right. And then so the next movie they say on this, and even though it's really hard to watch this one because everyone hates it, X-Men Origins Wolverine.
No!
They're
just
saying,
really?
Just imbibe some substances and have fun.
Yeah, and they're just... All right. Basically, they're saying this begins Logan's childhood to the mid-19th century before jumping to 1979, where most of the film plays out. Then they're saying that you go on to the 2000 X-Men, the start of it all, which takes most of its, and it actually, basically, since it's going around and where Wolverine finally joins the X-Men in this film and helps them fight Magneto and the Brotherhood of Mutants, and since, like Spicoli was talking about, since you've already seen First Class, you know the relationship between Xavier and Magneto, and then also the fact that the strong performances from Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart can help you make these roles resonate even more.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that, they go on to X-Men, you know, X2, X-Men United, and then even The Last Stand, so you get those three out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I don't want to say out of the way, but The Last Stand, you want to
Last Stand, you want to get
Last
out,
stand out of the way.
Yeah. And then they go to The Wolverine, which was the second Wolverine movie.
Okay.
And they say that since it was released 7 years after The Last Stand, it's the second one that picks up roughly the same amount of years later. This film follows Wolverine as he re-enters society and becomes entangled in the plans of the Japanese crime lord, and this is still along the same timeline. And then finally, X-Men Days of Future Past, which goes and kind of screws with everything, but that's the ending of that universe, because then it goes back and retcons everything.
At the end of Days of Future Past, it basically segments that that timeline.
So if you want to spend, you know, a weekend watching the X universe, you can do this X reality and watch these six films. Or if you want to do it in just one night, I mean, you
What about Apocalypse?
Well, this is when we get to the X Order number 2, X Reality 2.
Ah, okay.
Which, again, starts with X-Men First Class, and they're just basically saying since First Class was set in 1962, has no time travel elements, it escapes the Days of Future Past reset.
Yeah, Days of Future Past would change everything after is it the 70s? Yes, the 70s that it takes place.
And so what happens,
And
Days of Future Past is the next movie that they want you to watch in this one, because the film jumps 11 years to the future in 1973, picking up with the McAvoy, Fassbender, Lawrence cast during the dark period of their lives.
Right.
And then they go to X-Men Apocalypse.
Oof.
Because then that one is set in the 80s, which is the 10-year jump.
And directly follows up from the events of Days of Future Past, especially Mystique's involvement.
Right, okay, I see what you're saying.
And so, and then they kind of go on a skip with that, and they say, go watch Deadpool after that. And for that, they're saying it does fit in this reality, though kind of a little wonky, because they've retconned Wade Wilson from the Wolverine from Origins, so now he's this
time. The only way for Deadpool to be Deadpool is if you undo Origins, which requires Days of Future Past.
There we go.
Exactly.
Also, I think that if we do catch up, you know, with from where we're going, Deadpool is going to be part of this current franchise, not part of the past franchise.
I really, really hope so. And then also it talks about the fact that Colossus is also drastically different from the
year. Yeah.
And so it works along that line. Mm-hmm. And then finally they say to finish it up, watch Logan, because it's still along those lines. I haven't seen it yet, and I know everyone's saying that it's amazing, and I'm definitely going to be seeing it.
So they're implying then that Logan is actually in the other timeline and not the original timeline.
And even though that they've said that this story isn't necessarily with those, since it is the to date, the furthest one set to the future, this is the one that they can kind of just be like, well, you can add this onto that.
I'm not going to elaborate on this much because we're going to deal with the spectacular, but I think Logan is a third reality. I don't think it's from any
of
them.
That's what a lot of people think.
Huh. I agree.
A lot of people are saying that. And then at the same point, they even put in a X-Reality number 3, which is basically just smushing the both of them together. So you start out with X-Reality 1, then Days of Future Past, and then go to X-Reality 2. Yeah, which is basically if you want to watch like 14 movies, you can just go ahead and do that.
Some of them so it would be First Class, X-1, X-2, X-3,
Origins.
No, First Class, Origins, X-1, X-2, X-3, Days of Future Past,
Apocalypse,
The Wolverine, Deadpool, Logan.
Yeah, if you want to watch that many movies.
Sounds like a good week to me.
Tempting, exactly. I can't argue with that.
So, if anybody actually goes out and does it, this would be like a really fun viewing party. If you had it like you're just having a party and you had it playing and then, you know, maybe you don't watch Origins, but you have it on the screen so you can, you know, see Wade
Cook
Wilson.
During Origins or something.
Exactly.
And then we'll watch all the Avengers movies.
Oh, my goodness.
Womp, womp, womp.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Okay.
And until next time, guys,
stay nerdy.
Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.